No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
The last word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Lots of other things now to talk to Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas about. Starting with the economic war with Canada. So, Marion McKeown, tell us about the developments in this today, please.
Well, you know, this is really escalating. We know that the Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, introduced a 25% electricity surcharges. Canada provides, Ontario provides electricity for Michigan, Minnesota, New York. Michigan, obviously a really red, borderline red state there, implications for Trump. And then Trump has come back now and said that basically that he's going to double all of the previous tariffs. It's just escalating. It's escalating at a level that people just, you know, I don't think could imagine previously. And I presume the listeners have probably seen the Truth Social post where in the middle of this a sort of dark fury, Trump is going back to become the 51st state and you can play O Canada. And it's just bonkers. The markets are seesawing and they're yo-yoing because nobody can make sense of this and nobody knows where it's going next.
Cal Thomas, the Truth Social post that Donald Trump released today is unhinged. I think that's the best description from it because it is all over the place, instructing his Secretary of Commerce to add an additional 25% tariff to bring up to 50% on all steel and aluminium coming into the United States from Canada, which he calls one of the highest tariffing nations anywhere in the world. He says, amongst other things, just going through it, all the usual, why are we subsidizing Canada to the tune of more than $200 billion a year? All capital letters. Why? Multiple question marks. This cannot continue. The only thing that makes sense is for Canada to become our cherished 51st state. This would make all tariffs and everything else totally disappear. And there's more and more of that. What's your take on that, Cal?
Well, Matt, I think it's all unnecessary, completely unnecessary. I agree with Marion. This is a battle that did not have to be fought. We were told that when Trump was elected again, that he would be fighting inflation and bringing down prices, including petrol and eggs and all these other things. That's where the focus ought to be, and not on this other stuff. I think he has a legitimate argument that the United States is being treated unfairly by other nations, including like India, for example, that has a 100% tariff on goods trying to enter that country. But that's something that could be negotiated with later in conjunction with Congress, I think. Now there are people already threatening to sue Trump over these what they regard as unconstitutional and illegal tariffs. And we'll see what the courts do on that. But this is a war that did not need to be fought right now, and I think could have been delayed until later in his term.
Why would it be legitimate then to declare what is an economic war on Canada?
Well, no, I think it's stupid. I mean, Canada has been an ally. They produce, as you mentioned, goods that are essential beyond electricity and other things useful to the United States. I think a far better approach, especially with Canadian elections coming up and a conservative challenging the new Liberal Party head, could have benefited the United States much better if we supported a conservative prime minister for Canada, and then we could have more legitimate negotiations on these issues.
Listener says, the new Canadian Prime Minister, Mark Carney, is a former governor at the Bank of England and was a senior executive of Goldman Sachs. So he sounds like someone who knows a hell of a lot more about economics than the man who's been bankrupt six times. Well, he wasn't personally bankrupt. It was corporate bankruptcy. But the point is well made. And of course, Carney as well was the man who managed to steer Canada clear of the financial crash, which took down nearly everybody else between 2008 and 2011. Marion, tell us a little bit bit, though, about the way that certainly Canadians, who are sometimes derided by Americans as peaceniks, are certainly showing a large degree of steel and a willingness to fight against the aggressor of Donald Trump.
Well, you know, I think exactly as Cal just said, this is in a way, this is the best thing that could have happened to the Canadian Liberal Party, because Trudeau was on the absolute skids. He was about to leave office as a really sort of defeated and deflated lame duck. And they've come surging back now with Mark Carney and also with Trudeau making really forceful statements in the past couple of weeks. You'd wonder why he hadn't made them sooner. But anyway, so Canada is really uniting, and they've taken American whiskey and bourbon off the shelves. In Nova Scotia, they're doing a bunch of stuff as well. It's not just, I mean, Doug Ford is the Premier of Ontario, is the face of this, because he's a really tough looking guy. He looks like a Marine, one of those take no prisoners. And he's come out and he's been so forcefully said, whatever you do to us, we're going to do it twice as hard back. The gloves are off and you started this, but by God, we're going to finish it. And you kind of think it's going to be fascinating to me, because as I say, the Conservative Party, as Carl mentioned, they now look like they have no hope of winning this election, because Canada is surging back behind the Liberals, who are standing up to Trump. They're furious about this, and it's understandable because they've been allies. This talk about fentanyl on the border is nonsense. You could put the amount of fentanyl that crossed from Canada into America into the boot of a small car in the last year. It's absolute nonsense. So it seems that Trump has manufactured this trade war and this hostility with Canada for his own reasons, but it will backfire against him, because he's not going to get a friendly prime minister who he can do business with. He's going to get what looks like a really tough, really smart guy in Mark Carney, who's, this is not his first rodeo, but he understands business and Trump doesn't.
And Cal, how are you feeling about your pension and other investments now that Trump is tanking the US stock market?
Well, Matt, we've seen this before. I just wrote a column about it, be in my papers on Thursday. In 1981, Ronald Reagan was dealing with the leftover economic policies of Jimmy Carter, which included double-digit inflation, double-digit unemployment, and double-digit interest rates. Mortgage interest rates at the time were 16%. Which is just incredible when we even think of today's economy. So it took Reagan almost 2 years to turn the economy around. And then he won, of course, a landslide reelection. I think it's going to take a while to turn the economy around this time. Maybe not as long as 1981. But, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act of so-called of Joe Biden helped contribute to the $36 trillion debt. And a lot of other things. You know, Biden was throwing money out the door as fast as he could to various Green New Deal and other things. And so we're going to have to correct that. And I think that that should have been and should be Trump's primary policy, and not fooling around with his Canadian business and some of the other things that he's doing, like sucking up to Putin and now talking about negotiating with Hamas, of all things, a designated terrorist organization, when our policy for many years has been never to negotiate with terrorists. So I think his priorities are out of joint right now.
You mentioned double-digit inflation, unemployment, and interest rates. None of those apply now. Donald Trump has not inherited a bust economy which needs the type of actions that he is taking. The reason that the markets are falling now, Cal, is because investors think this is all crazy stuff. Even the likes of the Wall Street Journal, which supported him in coming to power, has said somebody should be suing him over the illegal moves that he has done since he's become president, doing things like a dictator rather than actually doing things through Congress.
Yes, well, I think Congress should be involved in this, and certainly in tariffs. But Matt, we didn't have a $36 trillion debt in 1981 when Ronald Reagan became president. We didn't have the kind of economic problems that this president, Trump, has inherited from Joe Biden. So I think it's inaccurate to say that things are not as bad as they were then. You've got to get out of debt. You can't continue to have this level of debt. No nation on earth has ever been able to maintain itself with this level of debt. And and this is why Elon Musk and Doge is trying to cut waste, fraud, and abuse in all levels of government. It's got to be done. Like losing weight, it can be painful, but the results are good.
I wonder, Marion, does Donald Trump have any fears about debt? He has lived his whole life in corporate debt. He doesn't care about the size of the American debt, does he?
Well, look, let's just a couple of things there. First off, Cal's right. The US debt is at $36 trillion, but Donald Trump boosted that number by $8 trillion in just one term in office. He was the single biggest contributor to the explosion in the US debt of any president in US history. It was like $8 trillion in one term. Work it out. It was catastrophic, if that's what you're concerned about. And secondly, just to go back on, there's no comparison, Cal, between what Reagan inherited and what Trump inherited. Trump inherited a country with historically low unemployment. His big metric, the stock market, reached unprecedented new heights, record-breaking new heights under Biden. Biden invested a huge amount of money in infrastructure, things that will pay off over the longer term. But by all the metrics now, I accept the American people were not feeling it, and Biden did not communicate to them in any effective way what he was doing and why he was doing it. But what Trump is doing now is just crazy. He inherited a perfectly healthy economy, and he is tanking it out of his own personal, pet peeves, and there's no oversight here. There's no strategy. It just feels like a bunch of headless chickens who are running around the White House and the Oval Office, but they're doing enormous damage.
And then what about his support for Elon Musk, Cal? That he's going out to buy a Tesla because he's upset about what he regards as an illegal boycott of the cars.
Well, he can't drive it. The Secret Service isn't going to let him drive it anywhere. That's a silly symbolism. I would just say in response to Miriam that much of that $8 trillion Trump spent in his first term was because of COVID. And many of those jobs that reduced the so-called unemployment rate were federal jobs. And that's the kind of thing that is supposed to be trimmed right now with Elon Musk and Doge.
It's hardly trimmed if you go in with the chainsaw and start closing everything and then realising afterwards that many of the jobs are actually essential and you have to go and rehire people. But Marion, let me go back to you in relation to that. The Tesla support that Trump is giving Elon Musk, I wonder, is that going to work? Are the MAGA heads going to buy electric cars because they come from Elon Musk when they're so wedded to gasoline cars? And anyway, are they going to be able to afford these cars?
Well, these are all really good questions. First off, I think the MAGA heads, as you call them, love the Cybertruck, but they can't afford it. And it blows up. That Cybertruck, there was a wonderful article in Texas Monthly magazine about what a disaster that Cybertruck is. Not just but all the glitches, everything that goes wrong, the amount of times it's exploded or failed or whatever. So that's their big macho thing. But they don't want Teslas. Red America and Trump supporters have never been interested in electric cars. They want gas guzzlers, and they're not going to change on that. And also the cost of Teslas is prohibitive. And I can tell you, having tried to find a charger for a Tesla in Missouri, you've got to go a long way to find a charger.
Why, you were driving one, were you?
Work. I was in Missouri last year, and there were no chargers. I had to bring him back. I had to bring him back to the Hertz people and get a gas guzzler because there were literally no. So it's not viable.
Marion, will you give us commitments that you will never rent another Tesla?
Boycott,
an illegal boycott. We want you to implement one, Marion. Okay, I want to read a tweet from Senator Mark Kelly, who said, and a picture of him with a tank in Ukraine, just left Ukraine. What I saw proved to me we can't give up on the Ukrainian people. Everyone wants this war to end, but any agreement has to protect Ukraine's security and can't be a giveaway to Putin. Let me tell you about my trip and why it's important we stand with Ukraine. And guess what Elon Musk tweeted in reply? You are a traitor. That's what he said. You are a traitor. Cal, US Senator Mark Kelly flew 39 combat missions over Iraq, piloted the space shuttle 4 times, and he went to Kyiv and he called for the defence of Ukraine, and Elon Musk has branded him a traitor. Before I ask you what you think, Cal, let's hear Senator Mark Kelly on Rachel Maddow's NBC show responding to that slur from Elon Musk.
Well, Rachel, when I was 22 years old, before getting sworn into the Navy, or as I was getting sworn in to the United States Navy, I swore an oath to our Constitution to protect and defend the Constitution. I have lived that oath my entire life. I flew in combat in the first Gulf War. I served in the United States Navy for 25 years. I spent 15 years at NASA risking my life flying the space shuttle. And the only oath I can think of that maybe Elon has sworn is an oath to his own checking account, to his pocketbook, an oath maybe to ruining the lives of veterans. I had veterans in my office last week who, after really good performance reports, found out that Elon Musk fired them for poor performance. He has ruined these people's lives. They were serving our country again in very valuable roles, and they did not deserve to get fired by an email from an unelected billionaire.
Who's also South African. Who is he to be calling Mark Kelly a traitor, Cal?
Well, I think it's an outrageous use of language. You know, we've talked about this before on the show, Matt. I don't like name calling of any kind. But here is a man, Mark Kelly, who faithfully served his country and, as he said, took an oath to support the Constitution. I'm not aware of Elon Musk's military record. I don't think he has one. I am aware of Donald Trump's military record, which is non-existent. He avoided the draft in the Vietnam War, claiming he had bone spurs in his feet. Or at least one of his feet. So the whole idea of being a traitor is totally outrageous. It's worse than a slur. I wish it was possible for Kelly to sue Musk on this, but I don't think he has to defend his honor. It's very obvious for anybody, whether they're a Republican or Democrat, to see.
And Marion, the final thing I want to bring up is, tell us, please, will the Palestinian activist and green card holder Mahmoud Khalil be allowed to stay in the United States?
I think he probably will, but I think that this is chilling what has happened here. And I think this is a green card holder. He has every right to be in the United States.
Sorry, his wife's an American citizen who is eight months pregnant.
He has a right to protest peacefully. Think about how this happened. This is like something you'd hear about the Gestapo. He was picked up by ICE at some early hour. He was taken to a place where his wife wasn't allowed to visit him. He was presented with no evidence of any crime, of any offence, of anything he had done wrong. He's a legally present person in the States. He was a student activist who coordinated with Columbia University about the protests. No, he's not charged with any crime, and he has been taken away and swooped up, and they are going to try to deport him. It is chilling. What's going to happen at student will Trump use the Insurrection Act to crush student protests that are critical of Trump? Where is this going to lead to? So I think the judge did absolutely the right thing. There is no legal reason to deport this individual. It is shocking and it's chilling.
Cal Thomas, J.D. Vance recently came to Europe and told us that we're suppressing freedom of speech. What gives for freedom of speech and the right to protest peacefully in the United States if this is what happens?
Well, with respect to Colombia, here is a man who was not only anti-Semitic, but he was threatening in the crowd, threatening Jewish students and making them feel unsafe there.
Allegedly.
If you watch the video, Matt, come on. Are you going to believe your lying eyes or just what you read?
I thought freedom of speech. Freedom of speech.
All right, come on. Yeah, well, okay. Freedom of speech has its limits. The classic line, you can't cry fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire. This is something that is continuing on college campuses, not only Columbia, but also Barnard, UC Berkeley. And I think Trump is absolutely right to threaten the withdrawal of millions of dollars in subsidies to some of these schools. I mean, Columbia alone, the tuition is $71,000 a semester. And they've got enough money. They don't need money from the federal government. So I think if they do not protect the freedom of Jewish students and their safety and their ability to go to classes that they paid for, and if somebody is blocking them, then I think disciplinary action is called for.
Cal Thomas, Marion McKeown, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world. But you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.